Okay. All right, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at we'll look at the popular rapture verses. And as we start our ninth class of the semester as far as lectures go, and last week we looked at the church age. We talked about that mystery of the church and all that here. And the church really comes to an end. The close of the church is by the rapture. So we don't know when the church age is over. It's over by this event called the rapture. Now, the word rapture does not occur in the Bible. All right, just so you're clear on that. But people say, well, the word's not even in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Okay? There are things that just aren't there. That does not nullify what we're talking about. Just because the word Trinity is in the Bible, the Trinity is in the Bible. Just because the word rapture isn't in the Bible, it doesn't mean the rapture is not in the Bible. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery, which shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." With that victory comes the rapture. And a definition of the rapture is to transport ecstasy, violence of pleasing passion, extreme joy or pleasure. So you see, by definition of the word rapture, it is an exciting, positive thing that a Christian ought to look forward to. It's the translation of the church. The Bible says that Enoch was translated, right? That's what it calls it, so that's what will be translated. All right, so this age terminates when the church is translated into the air with the Lord. The other popular verse on the rapture is 1 Thessalonians. We'll turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then I'll give you some other verses that aren't commonly looked at, I guess, for the most part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4:13-18, and I'm going to have you guys help me out with the reading tonight. So let me just start in the back here. Why don't you go ahead and read that, Rich, verses 13-18, if you don't mind.
1 Thessalonians 4:13-18.
Yes, sir.
Even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which we are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, though not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
All right, so the Lord descends with a shout, and calls it the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Says the dead in Christ shall rise first, meaning those bodies which are in the grave This causes confusion for some. It says, how come the dead in Christ are rising? I thought they were already in heaven. They are, because if you look up earlier here, it says that if we, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also would sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. They're coming down with him. Okay? So they're there with him. But the dead in Christ arise first. Their bodies, the grave's open. Their bodies go up now because they've got to be translated into a new body and united with their soul in the air. And then we which are alive and remain, okay, shall be caught up together. Cremation?
Cremation, thank you. Okay, because I've heard different things about that
mm-hmm.
as a Christian, whether that's
a whether it's good or a bad thing, yeah.
Like, I mean, because your body
yeah. Dust. Yeah, your body, I mean, ultimately goes to dust. I try to follow the example of Christ, I guess, in that he was, you know, put in a tomb kind of a thing. I don't, certainly if a Christian is cremated, it doesn't have any effect on their soul, and God will put the pieces back together. He knows where they are. You know, they'll be translated, you know. I imagine things are going to be coming out of the seas, bodies out of the seas and out of the ground. However, because of the pagan roots that cremation has, I just don't recommend it for a Christian. You know, that would be my opinion on it. When people ask me, I say, I don't think that shows honor to the body. And in the scriptures, I think that they had it was important to have a proper burial out of respect for that body, that temple, that house that we used while we were here. So that's my take on it. Well, I don't know. I mean, I know it does its roots. You know, their cremation didn't start in Christianity. You know what I mean? So that's my opinion on it. So, and again, it doesn't have an effect on the person's soul, obviously. Don't let me scare you if you know somebody that was cremated. That's just the way it goes, all right? Now, these two passages we looked at tell us that death is defeated, that we will see loved ones again. So we are, as verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So if we're to comfort one another with these words, why should we fear the rapture? Why are Christians not looking forward to the rapture? Yeah, because they're in the world. They're rooted here, aren't they? Okay. The rupture, yeah, that's what some people have called it. It will be for some people. But, yeah, it's not something God would have us to be afraid of. Because once it happens, it's over, folks. And you're not getting demoted. You're getting promoted. Death is a promotion for a Christian, okay? You got to look at that. People say, well, we have this. Can I golf in heaven? And can I, you know, listen, God won't take you out of here where you'll be, you know, homesick for here. You know, you won't be going, I wish I was back down there, you know. I mean, let's face it, so. The Browns won't be there, I'll tell you that. All right. All right, let's look at some other ones that maybe they're not as popular rapture teaching, but the inference is there, I think. John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter number 14, this is a common passage of scripture that we know, but Ryan, why don't you read the first three verses, please?
Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, there you may be also.
All right, so Jesus talking to his disciples there basically says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That could be, he might be talking there about, rapture, certainly talking about a resurrection, that they when they die, you know, they will be received up into his presence. Okay? All right, let's check out Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And go ahead and read 20 and 21. Next person.
For our conversation is in heaven, and it is also we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall change our body, but it will be fashioned that we can look for his body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
All right, so we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, and that when we look for him and he takes us, our bodies will be changed. Okay? All right, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, we'll read the first three verses.
Called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Alright, so we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. All right, again, that talks about a change for the Christian, a physical change. All right, and then one more, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. All right, Titus 2 and verse 13, Joe. All right, so looking for that blessed hope, and now they, back when Paul wrote this, 60-something AD, they were looking for that blessed hope, weren't they? What's that tell you about the rapture? It's imminent. It can happen any time. Yeah, and it's closer now, but don't you think they were looking for him? Yeah, they were waiting too. And so that tells us it could have happened then. It didn't, because we don't know. And it could happen tomorrow. We don't know. Okay. But the fact is, we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Okay. All right, so those are some good verses. Now, the rapture, then, is for all believers. All right. Dead or alive. If you're a believer, you'll be have a part in the rapture. Okay. If you were a believer, okay, then you're going to go up in the rapture. If you're a believer back after the resurrection of Christ, you're part of the body of Christ, right? And that's what he's doing. He's catching away his bride. So you'll be a part of the rapture, okay? If you're a believer 5 minutes before the rapture, you're going up in the rapture, okay? And so it's for his whole body, corporately, okay? For all believers in Christ that are alive. We're brought up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and it is not only for those who are right with God. Isn't that a good thing? Because there are people that teach that, and we're going to get into this tonight, all right? There are several rapture theories I want to cover tonight, the partial rapture theory, and the post-tribulation rapture theory, and the mid-tribulation rapture theory. So we'll look at tonight, and next week we'll look at just the pre-tribulation rapture, okay, what we teach. Joe?
Preacher, do you think those two main passages that we read, Corinthians and Thessalonians, where it speaks of the dead in Christ rising, when that occurs,
mm-hmm,
is there any indication in the scripture that it's an actual, like the grave will actually physically open if you go down Lyle Avenue and look at Holy Sepulchre and actually see graves opened up, or do you think it will be a, for lack of a better word, secret type of fire?
Yeah, that, you know, that's one of those things that remains to be seen.
Do you have any other scriptures?
I really don't.
Is
you know.
That when Christ,
yeah, it says that the graves were opened. But I guess the question is, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Were they opened, like, physically, you know, opened, explosion kind of a thing, you know?
I'm looking from the perspective of anyone that's gotten some form of the gospel that had any element of what the rapture
yeah.
did, say, hey, that's really the, that's the truth.
You would think so.
But then again, Thessalonians says that God will send those people that don't believe the truth strong delusion.
Yeah.
So.
And either way, I mean, I'm not, something's going to happen that people are going to know something happened, whether it's graves are open, whether it's airplanes, you know, a crash, because a pilot is a born-again Christian, you know, whether it's cars all over the roads, okay, whether it's a pile of clothes left here and blood, you know, somebody, they're going to know something happened. The aliens took us. You know, that could be a theory that they come into play. But yeah, and I do. And that's, I guess, what I was going to say is it won't be mass revival because people say, Joe told me this was going to happen, and someone's going to come along with an explanation and say, it's okay, everything's all right. And that's where they're going to look to that person, I think, as a leader type, you know, bringing peace. It's going to be chaos. The world will be in chaos. Somebody's got to step up and say, everything is okay. And that's where I think that the Antichrist will get his credibility, or world leader will. So I don't know. I don't think they're just going to buy. I think some people might. Some people might always have that in their mind. Man, they said this was going to happen. And they may believe that. You know, it may help some people, but I have a feeling it's not going to have a big revival because of it. So
He may.
He'll probably have a hand in it. Yep, he'll be a help to him. All right, let's look at the partial rapture theory tonight. And that obviously just means that only certain people who are watching and waiting, Christians watching and waiting, are right with God. And as I said, I'm glad that's not the case, because I wouldn't go, you know. I mean, a lot of us wouldn't go. How perfect do you have to be, you know? I mean, none of us are worthy of it, okay? But there are verses that talk about, watch ye therefore, and we'll look at some of these, but here's the confusion. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That's Luke 21:36. We'll talk about that one. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people that believe this partial rapture theory would say, you are commanded to look, and the Christians that are not looking will not go. Okay, that's what this theory says. We read Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Also, there's a crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous shall give, and not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And we already said there are going to be Christians that don't love his appearing. All right, so people say, well, that means they're not going to go in the rapture. All right, so there's verses like that that would lead people to believe that when the rapture happens, part of Christians go and part of them don't. Okay? Now, I guess there are several things that can present a problem for that. Can you tell me why that's a problem?
Well, you've got the people in the grave.
That's a great point. Half the people in the grave? Does that mean that only those? How do you account for the people in the grave? Are you watching for him? You know, if they're already there, right? But that opens up a whole can of worms. What about the dead in Christ?
That opens up salvation by works.
Salvation by works, Ron, that's a good one. And it does. It opens up that you have to be good enough or looking or working to earn that. It's like you're earning the rapture. is what it comes down to. Okay? Anybody else on that? What's that make you think of, or how would you refute somebody?
If you're burning the rapture, by what standards are you judging your good works on?
Okay? Yeah, that's right. You know, it comes down to good works and the standards.
By the same token, if you have good works, then what was the point of Christ dying on the cross?
All right, the point of Christ's death on the cross. Goes back to that, Ryan? Okay. Okay, good. Yep. All right, good. Good. You're That's excellent. Excellent. You're going to be risen with Christ, so you may as well set your affection above, Colossians 3. All right, anybody else have anything about that? Partial rapture. Only those watching, only those looking, only those right with God are going to go. Okay? All right, here's a couple things. Some of them I already mentioned. The sinner must be less than justified or less than perfect in Christ, if that's the case. All right, our standing in Christ, are we perfect in Christ? You're born again, you're perfect in Christ, okay? See, that's the merit we go on. That's why it's just like saying, when I die, I know I'm going to heaven, right? We don't base that on anything that you've done. Well, when the rapture happens, I know I'm going. Because it's all based on what Christ did for me, because my standing in Christ is perfect, all right, in His eyes. Okay, good. Yes, go ahead.
Partial. Some of them believe that. When do they say the rest of the Christians are going? Second coming?
Good question. Thank you. What would happen is part of the body would go here, and part of them would go through the tribulation, and if, depending on who you ask, either half of it, or the whole thing. You go up here, but they would go later after they get slapped around down here, basically, is what it comes down to.
Some people say when the two witnesses go up.
Or when the two witnesses go up, they would go up. All right. Well, and that's another theory. So, all right, good. Frank, go ahead. I couldn't tell you. I have no place to...
It's kind of hard to trace back some of these theories as to where, because they've been around for a while. You know, to say, well, so-and-so came up with this theory or this theory, it's tough to say. Because verses, like, I can tell you, it's going to be a popular theory, only because verses that we're going to look at, you're going to see why people can draw this conclusion without, again, rightly dividing. All right? Yes?
I read a quote this week that said that half the people in church across the country who claim to be Christians really aren't Christians, but we could be, you know, churchgoers that aren't Christians. And so that would kind of play into this
mm-hmm.
theory, because they would say, oh, well, maybe they were Christians, but they weren't good enough.
Good enough to go, yeah. And that could play in. That could play in. Because there are going to be people that believe they're saved that aren't going. They're just not saved. It's not because they weren't good enough, just because they weren't saved. Absolutely. How can you believe you're saved and not be saved? I can probably give you hundreds of examples of that any given Sunday. I'm not kidding you. You know, I'm. That's just.
They're saved by the way you're supposed to be saved.
Well, I think that they've prayed a prayer, they've asked for forgiveness of their sins, and that's been about it. There's no repentant heart. Okay. No repentant heart. An attitude, it's just 1, 2, 3, pray with me, get off my back, you know, and I'll come to church, I'll carry my Bible. But see, God, He's not fooled. The rest of us can be fooled. And I think that probably any given church that you go to, you've got people that are deceiving themselves. I really believe that.
Lord,
see?
I hear initially that a lot of people told me that they got saved in 85.
Mm-hmm.
I was saved and
mm-hmm.
didn't get right until 94.
See? And it's a good thing they did. But from 85 to 94,
and they said they really believed
thought they were saved, and something clicked. Yeah. It's scary.
Wow.
It's very scary. Ron?
There have been missionaries who've gone out in the mission.
Yes.
Field,
good.
And ended up getting saved, you know, after having been in the mission field.
Yep.
Some great preachers. I think even John Wesley.
Yes.
He went on a...
Yes.
He was from England, went to America,
yep.
Failed in a, you know, the revival or whatever, got saved, and then that's
yep.
really...
Yep, John Wesley was under the impression that he was a Christian, for and then truly did
yep.
experience a conversion. So that's interesting.
It's kind
so.
Of like a Christian purgatory.
Yeah. Amen. I knew that true. That doctrine was true. All right. Now, the other thing you must do to believe the partial rapture is deny the New Testament teaching on the unity of the body of Christ. We've looked at the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. We talked about who is the head of the body. Who's the head of the church, the head of the body? It's Christ. All right. And again, and I said this before, if he's the head and he's headed somewhere, the rest of the body's going to go with him, okay, when he's ready to move. And this is the same argument I use for the eternal security thing. You cannot dismember the body of Christ. So, if somebody's saved and in the body, those that believe you lose your salvation, you just dismembered the body. You took a part of the body away. They were in, now they're not, okay? You can't dismember the body of Christ. Once you're in, you're in. Okay? You can be an inactive member of the body of Christ, certainly. But you can't be like an arm that's broken off because you're not saved anymore. Okay? So you can't dismember. The same thing with the rapture. You can't dismember the body of Christ. The building, we're the building. He's the cornerstone of the building. We're the priesthood. He's the high priest. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. So he's not going to come for his part of his bride. All right? He's going to come for the whole bride. When it's time to go, it's time to go. All right? So you have to deny, as was mentioned, the completeness of the resurrection of the dead in Christ. All right? Because not all living saints would be raptured. Then not all the dead in Christ would be raptured. Okay? I think, as was mentioned, you confuse law and grace, works, versus faith. And then I believe that, and this will come into play in post and mid-trib rapture as well, and you'll hear this several times from me, but I firmly believe that this part is really for Israel, geared toward Israel. Okay, now the rest of the world will be affected by it. I understand that. But I see a big distinction between church and Jew. All right, so if they don't get raptured before this, then they have to start going into this time period. Okay, I don't see that. I see a distinction. The mystery of the church age shows up. He puts Israel on a timeout. When he takes the church up, and then it's time in. Okay, and that's how I see that thing. All right, but that's partial. The partial rapture would have to deny the distinction between Israel and the church, and place a portion of the body of Christ in the tribulation period. Okay, and I don't think that's a true teaching. Look at Luke chapter 21. I'll look at a couple of these here with you and tell you where they get some of their teachings. Luke chapter 21. All right, verse 36. Who's got that? Somebody read that. All right, now you take that alone, and Christ says, watch ye therefore and pray that you can escape. Well, what's he talking about, I guess, is really the question. If he's talking about the rapture, then we might have a problem. But I think he's talking about his return to the earth, this arrow over here. Okay? So it's a different... he's talking to somebody other than this group of people, the church. He's not talking to the church there. But he is telling a certain group to watch and be ready. And we'll see that again in a few minutes. He's telling this group. All right, let's try Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And this is why it is so important to rightly divide the word of truth. I'll tell you where the confusion comes in. When I read folks that believe a theory like this, or if I read folks, if I read people's books who say that the church goes through part or all the tribulation, inevitably this is what happens. We are confusing a passage of Scripture that is talking about this arrow with this arrow. These are two different events. This is the rapture of the church. This is the second coming of Christ. All right? Matthew chapter 24, and whomever's reading next, read 41 and 42. Let me tell you, that sounds like a rapture. Okay? Two women grinding at the mill. One taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. He's telling you, if you're not going to watch, you're not going to go. Okay? Well, again, it's this event.
You think that would match what was mentioned earlier, Revelation 11, Moses and Elijah, and them going up at that point? You think that's tribulation saints going up?
I do. Yeah. That's, and we'll get into that. But I do. Yeah.
Another rapture?
Yeah. I think so.
Too.
Yeah, that is. That's that, and Matthew 24, by the way, is all about this period of time. Okay, just so you know. When you're reading that, be careful, because that's talking about this event. That's that period of time. All right. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. All right, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
All right, so you see where they go with that one? Them that look for him shall he appear. As in, if you're not looking for him, he's not going to appear. Well, I think you could safely say that the distinction in the chapter is a believer and a non-believer anyway. All right? So, them that look for him would be the believer. All right? The Christian. All right? The Christians are look. He's coming for the Christian. He's not coming for the non-Christian. Okay? And there's the argument. All right? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. All right, verses 10 and 11. All right, what do you think of that one? If Paul says, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Now, somebody would say, see, he didn't know either. Now, let me ask you this, off. If Paul didn't know, you know, come on. What do you think? How would you look at that? Oh, Rob, go ahead.
It kind of means to me like he is saying, I'm going to act as if it wasn't like automatically promised to me. I'm going to behave myself.
Good.
I really had to earn that.
I like that as well, because look in verse 12, it follows. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended for Christ. He's already apprehended for Christ. He's already Christ's. Now he says, I'm going after the thing that got me, okay? And I'm attaining, he also talks about a, quote, better resurrection, okay? So I think keeping things in the context there, it's not whether he will go, but are you going to go in style or not? is what it's going to come down to. You know, what are you going to be doing? I wonder what we'll be doing when the rapture happens, you know? Wouldn't that be something? How would you like to meet Jesus if, you know, you know, oh, sorry, let me put that out for you, you know, or you know, I mean, just, what will you be doing? What will we be doing when we're caught up, you know? Scary thought, isn't it? All right, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great chapter on the resurrection, but we're going to pull one verse out, as is often the case. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 23. 1 Corinthians 15,
23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is
coming. All right, so that one leads people to believe that there's an order of the resurrection wherein not everybody is going to go. All right, there'll be a different opportunity for those that are watching versus the ones, as we said, that are left behind, and they'll have to go later. Okay, we'll take an in-depth look at this later on as far as what that means, first fruits and all that. All right, then 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8.
Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
All right, so it says, unto all those that love his appearing. Meaning, if you don't love his appearing, you're not going. But that's not what it says. It says you get a crown, right? It's a reward. So, partial rapturists, I guess the best we could say for them is, listen, if you love his appearing, you get a reward. A crown. If you don't love his appearing, I assume that you don't get that crown. But you still go, I think. All right? All right, and then let's look at Matthew 25. Let me show you where I think the partial rapture will come into play. Not really a partial rapture, but let me, where some will go and some won't. Matthew chapter 25. And this is the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five wise, five foolish. All right, the five wise were ready, basically. All right, verse 5, the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said, give us oil. Of course, they didn't get it. And those that were ready went. Verse number 11, and afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, is the warning. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Alright, here's where this fits, is here. Okay? When Christ comes back, it is not a group thing. In that it's going to be those that are ready. All right? And there's going to be, we'll talk about the tribulation in a few weeks. But basically, there's going to be some things that are going to be expected of people. And some of them will go, and some of them won't. Okay? That's where these theories fit over here. They don't fit here. This is different.
Well, that will stand the reason okay? for your faith and work set up in the
tribulation. Absolutely. Faith and works, no eternal security. Crazy stuff going on then, man. You know, it's a back to the Old Testament type thing. So, anyway, rightly dividing the word of truth, guys. Now, when we go up in the rapture, what do you, again, this isn't, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. What do you expect is going to happen to us? We go up, we're changed, we meet the Lord in the air. What would you take a guess? We might be doing that.
Thinking.
What? spanking, but yeah, that's true. All right, judgment seat of Christ. We know there's a judgment seat of Christ. We do know that. All right? I think a safe assumption is that it's when we go to the judgment seat of Christ.
Writing lessons.
Yeah, really.
Is the judgment seat going to be all at one time, do you think? Or if somebody died 100 years ago, do you think
I think it's going to be the bride together. The bride hath made herself ready, Revelation says. When the bride makes herself ready, I think it's a group thing. I'm not saying we all go together, probably one at a time, but we all might be there. Okay? I think it's that body together that does the judgment seat of Christ. So that's when you go and rewards or not or whatever happens there. All right? But I believe it happens after this.
So someone like, let's say, Martin Luther, when he passed away and stepped into the presence of the Lord,
yep,
to save him
visible. Yep.
He's not judged for anything as far as his Christian service.
I think he's, I don't know what he's doing, or what, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think he's at the feet of Jesus, or whatever. All right? But I don't think he's attained his rewards yet, and made himself ready yet.
The other explanation that I often give is, if God is outside of time, and living in
time, yes,
then Martin Luther, dying in 15-something,
yep,
if there's no time with God, then it's right now. And
that's
right now.
That's another good point, Joe. I mean, it's something that blows our mind because we don't understand that thing. God's eternal. Yeah. Well, see, there's a lot of possibilities. But the fact, listen, one thing we don't get, guys, is that God's eternal. We try to factor in time with God. And the fact is, God is just, all right, here, you guys are the past. I'm not God, but God stands here. You guys are the past. This is the present, and this is the future. Does he not see it all? Absolutely. Okay? So then he knows, because we know from the book of Revelation, it all plays out. So he knows what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do. That's why we spend time talking about the, quote, elect. But the Bible does say that you're elect according to what? That's the very simplified argument with predestination and all that, so election. The Bible says, don't make it harder than it is. It says you are elect according to the foreknowledge. And it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Okay? So he sees and he says, I know. Let's see. Oh, you and you and you? Yeah, I know these things. And off it goes in eternity. When you look at God is eternal, things, I think your theology comes in a little better. You start to understand these things a little bit better. Otherwise, man, you try to figure it out. You try to outsmart God. You know, you're a fool. You're just sounding like a fool. Just be quiet. He's eternal. Okay? All right, somebody had their hand up over here. Ryan, go ahead. Well, that's speculation. And I don't know the answer to that, other than it could be the Great White Throne Judgment. Some have suggested that the Great White Throne is for the unsaved mostly, but also possibility that the people that were saved here. Okay. However, the key is this. The judgment seat of Christ is different in that it's for this group. Okay? If you get saved here, you're not in this group, so you don't get that judgment seat.
They would have to be at the White Throne then, wouldn't they?
They'd have to be at the White Throne. Yeah, they'd have to be. So,
which kind of makes sense because if you look and he says it's reading out of the book, right?
Yes.
Why would he do that if there was a family people were going to
come? Good point. The Book of Life. That's a good point, Chris. Yep. All right, so you've got, we assume, we've got the judgment seat of Christ here. The Bible talks about in Revelation about the bride before he comes back. It talks about the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready. There's some sort of preparation. The bride has made herself ready. I think that's the judgment seat of Christ. And someone mentioned the other event. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place somewhere. And I think that that also takes place. Celebration, feast, marriage, supper of the Lamb before they come back. So the fun thing about prophecy is... it'll be fun to watch because we don't know how it's going to play out specifically, you know. Oh, that's how you did that thing, you know. I always wondered about that. So, All right, anything else? Go ahead.
I thought, I think when I go through the tribulation, we know that John the Baptist was not necessarily part of the church. He was a friend of the bridegroom. And
when
it shifts back to the nation of Israel, maybe those people, the tribulation saints, are a friend of the bridegroom.
That's a good point. That would be...
As far as the great white throne for the wicked dead, that it's judged those for the second death.
And I think that is definitely the primary. I'm not, and I don't know if he uses it as an opportunity for those that are written in the book of life that got in over here. That was the question. Or if it, you might be right, it might be exclusively for the unsaved.
You know,
but that remains to be seen.
Goes back to what Chris said, that passage in Revelation 20, they were judged according to their works.
Yep. Well, that's true. That's faith and works. I've looked at that as they're getting their judgment now. Hitler gets his.
Yeah.
And the sweet old lady that crossed, you know, that you helped cross the street that was lost gets hers, you know. Their works for the lake of fire.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting though, isn't it? All right. So that's the partial theory. We'll take a break. We'll come back and do the post-tribulation rapture and the mid-tribulation rapture. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the different places on the prophetical timeline that people put the rapture. Look at a couple of those theories tonight. And one of the things is to remember, I believe that the purpose of the rapture, of course, is to gather the body of Christ. But I also believe it's to keep them from wrath or tribulation. The Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we're to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. Now, He delivered us from wrath to come, of course, being in hell, that wrath to come, but I believe the rapture, we're waiting for Him from heaven to deliver us from the wrath to come here. All right? Then 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I believe that the church again will be raptured here before the tribulation. Now, it is of my teachings and opinion is that all of the 7 years of tribulation will have wrath. All right? Some believe that only the second half, that the first 3.5 years does not have wrath. All right? It doesn't have the seals or the trumpets or the vials, or if it does have the seals and the trumpets, I'm talking about the book of Revelation and the different judgments, that they're really wrath of man, not all wrath of God, but then the second half only has the wrath of God. So there's some differences there, okay? But the places where people put the rapture, we put it here. This church is what's called a pre-tribulation church. You ever hear the term pre-trib?
Mm-hmm.
You're pre-trib. That means we believe the rapture will happen pre-trib, before the trib. All right. There are people that are post-tribulation rapture. That means they believe the rapture will happen when?
After
the rapture. So they would put their arrow up here, okay? There are those that believe it will happen in the middle of the tribulation. They're called mid-tribulationists. They believe it would happen where? All right, there's a 3.5, okay? The middle, all right? There are those that believe what's called a pre-wrath rapture, which would mean where right before God pours out His wrath. Now, people place that at different places. A lot of people put it at the halfway point. They believe the wrath is coming here. So, again, they're like the mid-tribbers. Some people might put it toward the end. And just say there's 6 years of nothing, Antichrist here, that, but nothing, no wrath, but then the last year there's wrath, so then we go up there. Wherever they place the wrath, that's they would say we're going up pre-wrath, okay? Again, I believe, just from my studies, that the tribulation starts, the wrath starts with the seven seals of Revelation chapter number 6. And I believe that to happen soon after the rapture. Okay? Go ahead, Joe.
If that's the case, Pastor, then how would you explain that in Daniel 9:27, you shall confirm the covenant with many,
for 1 week. We know that to be 7 years.
Right.
And in the midst of the week, I would take that to be...
halfway into it.
He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, the season, mm-hmm. and overspreading. Is that maybe a reference to halfway through the tribulation? He goes into the temple and proclaims himself.
Correct. Yep. So that would mean, and a lot of people teach that, see, the first 3.5, it's peaceful. The Antichrist hasn't become the Antichrist, you know what I mean? He's not been Satan incarnate yet.
Well, we know he comes in that way. He comes in peaceably.
Yes.
We don't know how long that
is. Well, we know he becomes Satan incarnate halfway through. But I personally believe that there are other judgments taking place for that 7 years, and I think that part of it being the fact that it's the time of Jacob's trouble and Daniel's 70th week. It's 7 years long. We know it's 7 years long. Okay. Still, other people put the first 3.5 years starting Christ's ministry was the first 3.5 years. Okay, they would say, and this is the last half of that. So they put a break in. And that. Okay? Go ahead. Somebody else had their hand up? Jerry?
Speaking of the mid-trip, the Bible talked about to be looking for a soon return. And those, I believe, are going to be, if there's such a thing as a pre-trip and a mid-trip.
And that's a possibility. I understand. Yeah. That's a possibility.
There's a lot of people that don't want the rapture.
Right.
For any reason.
Right.
Job,
yeah, they're rooted here. Yeah, they're very rooted here, definitely. All right, now, in my opinion, if you believe in a post-tribulation rapture, you have to deny dispensationalism as was taught. All right, we believe in divisions, right, in the Scripture. They pretty much keep the same program going. All right, from here, it's the same program, and then ends at after the tribulation. All right, so you deny some dispensationalism. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. All right, so again, I see it as, and this is, people ask me, why am I a pre-tribulationist rapture? I see Daniel's 70th week as Daniel's, Israel's. I see the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, as the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So I see these programs as very different. I don't believe that they'll meet. Never the twain shall meet. And this is just how I see it. And that's why I am a firm believer of the pre-tribulation rapture. All right, prior to the 7 years. All right, that's my bottom line with it. Okay, my biggest reason. Again, for if you believe in a post-trib rapture, and there's different teachings on why, but they're saying the church has to go through tribulation. We would say the church, their sin was judged at Calvary, right? It's washed clean, all right? So they don't need to go through the fiery trials of the tribulation. They don't have to go through the wrath, the judgment, and the indignation. Because they're the body of Christ, His bride, okay? You're going to marry a bride, you're going to put her through heck, you know what I mean, before you marry her? So, I don't think so. Yeah, go through. Yeah. All right? Part of the problem is, the confusion is, this arrow, which is the rapture, and this arrow, which is the second coming, we already looked at some of those verses, and if you believe in a post or mid-trib rapture, now here's the thing. Somebody used the word imminent. The rapture's imminent. It can happen at any time. Okay. Now, if the tribulation begins, and I believe that we're going to be raptured at the end of the 7 years. Well, I pretty much can know when that's going to happen, can't I? I can count. 7 years later, I'm going. Or tribulation begins, they confirm a covenant for 7 years. Then I can count. 3.5 years is my rapture. Okay? I think the rapture is imminent, and that's why I believe they were looking for it then, in the early days of Christianity. I believe we can be looking for it now, okay, because it's imminent, all right? And so it would deny the imminency of the rapture. All right, Joe, you mentioned Daniel 9. Let's go there. We're going to look at this in a couple weeks in depth, because this can be a very confusing passage of Scripture. In fact, I was talking to I had another pastor call me who was teaching on this, called me the other day and said, "Now let me get this straight." As soon as I figure, I know who it is. As soon as I figure, "Now let me get this straight." Daniel 9 isn't, he gets right into what he's talking about. But anyway, because it can be a very difficult passage, but we will in the future break this down. All right, I'll try the best I can to explain this, but not tonight. All right, all I'm going to say is this. There are 70 weeks determined upon thy people, he tells Daniel. That's Israel. It's on thy people, Israel. All right? 70 weeks, they're prophetic years or week years. All right? They add up to 7 years per week or 490 years. Okay? 69 of those have already been fulfilled. All right? That's historically it's happened. There's 1 week left. It's called Daniel's 70th week or 7 years left. Okay? 1 week of prophecy left. And in verse number 27, it's talking about the Antichrist, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. Okay? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, or in other words, they're probably doing temple worship. Alright? So at the halfway point, the Antichrist says no more. And if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which we'll do, he turns his back on Israel and becomes the devil, if you will, incarnate, and you know, all that stuff happens. And he's called the abomination of desolation. Alright, at that point. Steve? Yes, clock stopped at the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. All right, Messiah, or here, which they're only, it's in that last week anyway, they're a week apart. It says, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So it goes to the death of Christ, basically. Then there's a gap. 69 of the weeks are fulfilled. There's one left. All right? Now, again, remember the church was a mystery. I remember we talked about that. Didn't have to be, did it? God could have continued his program with Israel, but he didn't. So it got postponed. All right? So here it is. And it picks back up here. That's 70th week. Joe?
What Steve just said, that's Daniel 9:25, where the clock stops.
Yeah. Shall Messiah be cut off? 26.
Unto Messiah the Prince.
26. After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off? Yep. Yep. And again, if you're confused, that's okay, because I am. All right. But we're going to break this down. When we study the tribulation, we're going to break Daniel 70 weeks down, and I'm going to try the best I can to show you what that's talking about. Okay, it's a fascinating scripture. All right, so the post-tribulational people would say that that was fulfilled historically already. Anyway, that's what they teach, that Daniel's prophecy, I should say, Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled here, and then also after the death of Christ. And then Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD and all that, and they factor things like that in there. And some people say that the people, the prince that shall come and destroy the city, are in this passage were General Titus, the Roman general that came in to Jerusalem in 70 AD and destroyed it, and that fulfilled all that. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes along. You know, what's that? Yeah, lets Rome off the hook, doesn't it? So. All right, another argument that is used is that some would say that, and I love this because you hear this about a whole bunch of things, they would say that a pre-tribulation rapture, which we believe, was a doctrine that has only been around for the last 150, 180 to 200 years, that it was never believed back here. Okay? Something that people came up with. That's an argument from silence, I guess, is what I have to say about that. You don't know that, first of all. You can't prove that. All right? We don't know that they didn't teach. And next week, we're going to get into the hidden things in Scripture that tell us, show us that the rapture is pre-tribulation. All right? We're going to look at those typologies, things like that, that show us that it was there. Pre-tribulation was back here. All right? It showed you. All right, you just didn't put, can't put it together until hindsight. Well, I agree, but they would say that he's talking about, you know, look for the return of Christ here. You know, and that's what they would say. All right, but I believe them to have been, as I said before, to have been looking for the rapture at that time, which would make it imminent, which would make it not necessarily going through the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Yep. I would agree. Yes?
You don't know how it says that's when the thing will be in your, that's when time will stop, right?
No, that's not what was said. I don't mean to confuse you, but that prophecy stopped is what they meant by that when they said time was stopped. Yeah. Not time as we know it, but time is that prophecy. All right, now the same things can be said for a pre-wrath rapture or a mid-trib rapture. All right, same things can be said a lot of these arguments, all right, against a lot of these arguments, all right, because some people would also say that the church was promised tribulation. Jesus promised the church tribulation. I don't think he did promise. I think he said in this world you'll have tribulation, didn't he? I don't think he meant the body of Christ going through the tribulation, all right? And again, people think that, well, the church, we got it coming, we deserve it, you know, abortion and homosexuality and all this, we deserve it, God's going to give it to us, he's going to make us go through all this, you know, maybe he will, but he's not going to make us go through the actual wrath of God that's poured out on this earth between the seals, the trumpets, and the vials of Revelation. He's not going to pour those out on his people. Okay? It doesn't make sense to do that. Not to his bride. It does not make sense to do that. All right? Because the bride of Christ is saved. They're born again. They have already come to Christ. Now, it makes sense to do it to these people. They're stiff-necked. They're not with the program, are they? And that's the purpose of this time period. To get them with the program and to spare the remnant. Okay? Slap them upside of the head. He doesn't have to do that with the church. Okay, any questions so far? All right. Remember this. The church was a mystery. Okay? It ends in a mystery. Began as a mystery, and it ends as a mystery. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So a mystery, it makes sense to me that it ends in a mystery, which is the rapture. And again, I just can't stress this enough. Israel rejects the Messiah. He goes to the Gentiles. Israel, you're shelved, time out. Okay, I'll deal with you later. We're in the church age. We're with the Gentiles. We're getting saved by grace through faith. Things we've seen in this church age that have never been seen in history before when God dealing with his people. Then, something else that's never been seen in history before, a rapture of a whole group of people, a body of Christ. All right, that ends the program with the Gentiles, if you will, or the church. That ends that program. And now he has to take care of this program again. All right? And when we study the tribulation, you'll see it's like, it's almost like erasing this. You're erasing this. You're back to this kind a program. The Old Testament, dealing with the Jews like you would in the Old Testament. You don't have the 144,000 in the church age. Okay? You don't have the two witnesses in the church age, Moses and Elijah. Because they asked him, hey, why must Elias first come? They asked him back over here before the cross. Okay? And he says, Elias first came already. He's talking about John the Baptist. Okay? Well, that doesn't, Moses and Elijah don't come into play here. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe does not come into play here. It comes into play here when he deals with Israel. Everything's Jewish again.
Does that mean there's no Gentiles in the time period, like saved by faith?
No, I didn't mean to say that. Collectively, no, there are still Gentiles being dealt with here, yes. They'll get in on it.
They can.
Yeah, they can get in on it, yes.
We think that 12,000 per tribe are mentioned in Revelation 7 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the nation of Israel gets whittled down to. Do we think that the 144,000 is the remaining remnant? Or is it, do we think it's more than that? And that number is just symbolic.
I think that it depends on... It depends on what your guess is as to who they are. Okay, I tend to think that they are more witnesses to the Jews.
Which leads me to ask: in the tribulation time, will the nation of Israel somehow suddenly know which tribe they're in?
They may, and certainly those 144,000 knew. Because there are 12,000 from each tribe, but I don't think that they're the quote spirit remnant.
Okay.
This is my opinion. I think far more than that will be saved.
So 144,000 witnesses.
I think they're.
Tribulation.
I do. I think they're like witnesses for Israel. That's just my opinion. I mean, they could be the spirit remnant.
Yes, 144,000 are young virgin Jewish
men. Male virgin Jews. It says they were. The other thing it says they were redeemed is from the first fruits of Christ, which is interesting because the first fruits of Christ went up back here, and so some people think that they are the babies that Herod killed. Some people think they're the babies that Pharaoh killed, or a combination of both. If you follow that thing through, it's a very interesting study. You have to look at Jeremiah with Rachel's cry and the return to their own borders again, that kind of a thing. It's an interesting little study, but I don't know who they are, to be honest with you.
I heard somebody, I don't remember, years ago, was talking about that thing that someone did, calculations, about how many Jews were in the time period, and they killed the babies, and it was...
Okay. Yeah, I had never heard that. I would be interested in. I'd like to get some info on that if there was any available. That would be interesting. All right. Now, what we'll do is next week we're going to look at, as I said, the pre-tribulation rapture, and we're going to break that down. And first, we're going to look at the types. In the scripture, types of people that were taken out before tribulation. And then we're going to look at the three times that the term come up hither is used in scripture, or the three parts of the what's called the first resurrection, called starting with first fruits. Okay, first fruits, harvest, and gleanings. And look at, I think, There is going to be three times, two raptures. I think Jerry said that earlier. There could be two raptures, okay? And I think that might be the case. Just one is for us, and one is for later for the Jewish people. But we'll look at that. I hope to have this PowerPoint with charts and stuff just to help with that a little bit. We'll see how that goes. Okay. All right, any questions? Go ahead.
Is there ever a time in the Old Testament that the Israelites were seeking converts? They never looked for anybody to come and join them.
You know, it looks to me like they were supposed to, and they failed,
yeah.
Basically.
Really?
the question was, did Israel ever look for Gentile converts as a nation? And I think God's plan was to get them settled in the land and be a witness and a peculiar people, a holy nation, and to get the other people converted. And it didn't happen. Yep. God gave provision for that.
Yeah.
If the Gentile wants in, he can come in. They have to do certain things. He made provision for that. Yep. All right, good. Go ahead, Rich.
So I understand that the tribulation starts when the Antichrist confirms the covenant.
That's my understanding of it.
Okay. What about Ezekiel 38? I might be ahead of myself. Talk about
okay.
God, made God.
Okay, that's a good question. I'll tell you what we can do is... next week we're going to finish up the rapture. Then we'll have a week off. Then on December 12th in the chapel, we're going to talk about the tribulation. That's probably a good place to bring up Ezekiel 38. Because that's a good question. Gog and Magog. Very good question. All right. All right, anything else tonight? Now let me see if I've got my bases covered here. Peggy, we need...